We've been talking about a series of messages on Seek My Face. And in this season of time, we want to hear what God is saying. And I think in simplicity, it's the three words, Seek My Face. We are living in a time where we can't depend. I mean, it's always been the case anyway. The only way, as we've learned this morning, is Christ. All right, and with everything that's happening in the world or even around us, you can't come at the end of the day when we stand before God, we can't say, I depended on my dad's faith. I depended on my mother's faith. I depended on the pastor's faith. I depended on my life group leader's faith. No. When we stand before God, we got to be able to say, I sought your face. I seek your face because I know you. You know, there was a scripture in the book of Ezekiel how he talks about how if Daniel, Ezekiel, and Job, that no one would be able to, not even their righteousness would not be able to preserve anybody, but everyone for his own. So what I'm saying this morning is that as we go through life, challenges, we got to learn how to seek God's face in those moments because perilous times, as we know, is what's coming. We are living in the last days, and the Bible talks about perilous times, persecutions, how we will live. And so now itself, we must learn to live life seeking God. We're going to seek God personally. We're going to seek God together. And that's why we're here together this morning, to seek the face of God. Now, as I talk, I want to talk about a message here titled, A Place Called There. Say there with me. Yeah. A Place Called There. A number of time, a few months' time, we talked about a message about a certain place. But today I want to talk about a place called there. You want to go there? Let's go there, if we're not already there. And in order to go through this message, I just need to introduce something really briefly here. And it's a picture here that I'm going to put on the screen, is the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant is a furniture that God asked the people, his people, to build. It was made out of gold, wood overlaid with gold. And as you can see, there are two cherubims with their wings pointing to one another, facing one another, and facing the mercy seat. The mercy seat is the lid. And the cherubims are looking towards each other and yet looking towards the mercy seat. And so this furniture, and I'm going to show you where it was located, but I'm going to now read a portion of the scripture from the book of Exodus chapter 25, verse 17 to 22, which is referring, so when you see the Ark of the Covenant in the scriptures here, we're referring to that furniture. And so what does it say in verse 17 of Exodus chapter 25? It says, you shall make a mercy seat, okay, that's referring to that thing, that the furniture, of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and a cubit, a half its width. You shall make 2 cherubim of gold, of hammered work. You shall make them at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub at 1 end and the other cherub at the other end. You shall make the cherubim at the 2 ends of it of 1 piece with a mercy seat. Okay, so just giving some details about how to make it. So if you don't get, doesn't make sense, don't worry, but it's referring to what we just seen on the picture there on the screen. Verse 20, and the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and they shall face one another, and the faces of the cherubim shall be towards the mercy seat. Now, this is the key text for today. Verse 22, and there I will meet with you, and there I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim which are on the Ark of the Testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. Everybody say, there. There, there I will meet you. Say with me, there I will meet you. There, there I will speak with you. There, there I will give unto you. So we want to talk about the place called there. And there, he would meet with them. Let me go through this here, okay? It's a place called there. In Hebrew, the word is sham. And the reason why I tell you this is, I'll tell you that why I tell you this in a moment. So, and there, and Shem, I will speak with you there. So what was significant about this furniture is that this particular furniture was actually placed in the tabernacle of Moses. I'm going to show you another picture here. That here, this was what God commanded, spoke to Moses and says, build this tabernacle exactly according to the pattern that I showed you on the mountain. And this is what they built. And it was located inside that tent. Can you see a tent there? And then right in the middle of that fence, okay? So the next picture here, we're going to break it down of what that looks like. Next one. Okay, so it looks like this. This is the architectural design, okay, let's say. Okay, so here we have three. I want you to see the three things in bold on the right-hand side. We have down the bottom, it says the outer court, which was outside. So it's within the fence, but outside the tent. That's called the outer court. As you go inside the tent, the first room is called the holy place. And as you go past the other veil there, well, there's an opening there. After the word incense altar. As you go through there, it's called that chamber or that room is called the most holy place. And other times we say the most holy, or other times it's the holy of holies. And I'm going to show you another word that's actually in a moment of that is actually called as well. But here, and what I want to bring to you today, this morning, for us to understand and for us to cherish what I'm about to share, is that in that most holy place was where that Ark of the Covenant was put inside there. So that first picture that I showed you was inside the most holy place. Now, God asked them to perform certain duties, certain things in the tabernacle. But what was the purpose? Why did God ask them to build this tabernacle? In Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, this is the purpose. Are you ready? It says, and let them make me a sanctuary. A sanctuary is a place of where God wants to dwell. So he says, that I may dwell among them. So the purpose that God commanded his people to build a tabernacle in the wilderness, even as they were journeying 40 years in the wilderness, they were asked to build this so that God would dwell, God would tabernacle in their midst, all right? Speaking of tabernacle here and dwelling in our midst, makes me think of the wilderness. We've got so many announcements this mornings, and we're going here and then we're going there and there and here and there and there and here, all right? So we're going to follow the cloud by day and the fire by night, right? So the cloud will lead. So we just got to follow along, right? But let me come back here, okay, for a moment. The most holy place, okay, was not a room. It wasn't a section of the room that anybody could enter in. In fact, only the priests were allowed to minister in the tabernacle, number one. But the second of all is the most holy place could not be entered in, not even by the priests, but the high priest alone. Now, that's very significant. And the other thing we need to also be aware of, that the high priest could only enter in once a year. Everybody say once a year. Once a year. And that most holy place, it's the most holiest, it's supposed to be the holiest place because that's where the presence of God dwelled. It was the place where God would speak, where the place where God would meet, and then God would give. All right? But here, for such a long time, the people in the scriptures, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, they did this, they practiced this, they could not go in. But the encouraging thing, let me say one more thing here, is as I mentioned, that room there is called the most holy place. Another name for it in the scriptures is called the oracle. Let me read 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 19. That's significant because the whole idea of what I'm trying to say here is there's a place we want to meet God, and there's a place where he wants to speak with us, and there's a place he wants to give us. So in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 19, referring to the temple, when they eventually built the temple in Israel, it says this, and the oracle he prepared in the house within and set there. There, all right, pick up those words there. He set there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. What's the Ark of the Covenant? All right? So it's that furniture with the two cherubims. Place it there in the place called the oracle. Now, what does the oracle referring to? The oracle is referring to the most holy place or the Holy of Holies. The oracle in Hebrew is the word devir. And the word devir comes from the word devar, which means words. When God spoke the words, that's the root word. So the oracle is the place where God speaks. It's the chamber where God speaks. So the Holy of Holies is also called the oracle. What am I saying? Is that there's a place where God wants to speak with us. And it's found in the most holy place. But coming back here, in the Old Testament, no one had access to it. But the high priest once a year. But thanks be to God, what did Jesus do? Okay? Now let me build further here. Let me read Ezekiel 48, verse 35. So there's a place. It's called, what is it called? There. I'm making the point, right? There, they set the ark. There, I'll speak with you. And now watch this in Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 35. Now the book of Ezekiel is a prophet of God who was in Babylon. He was a captive and he saw visions of God. And one of the visions he saw, which contains a number of chapters towards the end, is the city and the temple and a design of a temple which was never built by the people. But many see this as the prophetic city of God, which is his people. But in verse chapter 48, verse 35, why don't you read it with me? What does it say? It says, all the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. Adonai Shama. Sham means there. Adonai Shama means the Lord is there. So when you think about it, what is the heart's desire of God? Build the tabernacle so that I would dwell in your midst. When the book of Revelation, when we reach towards the end, what does it say? The tabernacle of God, the dwelling place of God is with man. That's the heartbeat of God. He wants to dwell. The city of God was coming down from heaven. So there's a place where the Lord is. There's a place where God wants to meet with us. Okay. But here, as we talked about this most holy place, which only the high priest could go in once a year, then what did Jesus do for us? I want to read Hebrews chapter... Oh, sorry. Before I do that, I must not forget to say this. Can you show that picture, the first picture again? Very, very first. Ark of the Covenant. All right. At the Ark of the Covenant, when the high priest would go in that once a year, how must he go in? Can he just walk in, chill, have a cup of tea and just put a fan there and sit down and chill? No. Was he to go in there praying 2 hours before then he could go in? Could he still go in, even if he prayed? No. What if he read the scriptures and he read the whole Torah or the whole... Could he still go in after you've done that? No. What must he do? There must be the blood sacrifice. So without blood, there was no entrance within. You cannot go in apart from blood. Okay? And so the blood was required. And so what does that, and what is the picture that here I'm bringing you to is, I'm going to bring us to Hebrews 10, verse 19 to 20. It says this, having... Therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. What is the holiest? The most holy place. Are we talking about a physical temple? Are we talking about the tabernacle that they built in the wilderness? Certainly not. It's the presence of God. All right. How must we enter? By the blood of Jesus. Everybody else say, by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So because of the blood of Jesus, we now have access. Now, when do we have access? When you have read your Bible? When you have prayed? When you have fasted? No, because of the blood. Now, is the blood there temporarily for us? No. But Jesus offered himself by the eternal Spirit for once for all sacrifice. What is that saying to us? That by the sacrifice of Jesus, we have entrance. How often? I hear all the time, 24/7, because of the blood. So what is this saying to us? That God has opened the way for us so that we can meet him there in the most holy place. There I will meet you. There I will speak with you. There I will give you. So the first thing I want to impress on our hearts is to show how far God has gone so that he would dwell with us, so that he will meet with us, so that he will speak with us. Can you say amen? So let me go just for a few points here before I talk about a few practical things then. What does it mean for us? God wants to meet us in a place called there, the place of his presence, the place of his dwelling. Why do we have access? Because of the blood. Now, he wants to meet with us. Do we go and meet with him? He wants to speak with us. Do we go to the place where we can hear him? Or do we, in turn, speak to him? God wants to give us commandments, instructions, and encouragement and exhortation. But do we go to the place called there to receive that? Thanks be to God that the Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that Christ comes to live in the inside of us, and that the Holy Spirit is given to indwell the believer. Do we live in the place of his presence? And now, because we have access to his presence, is a 24/7 thing, isn't it? So even though I'm talking about there's a place we can go and meet him, if God has made us his sanctuary here on earth, if God is dwelling in us, he's saying there's a place called there. There's a place in the Spirit where I want to meet with you. I want to commune with you. And it's not only even when you have a time of prayer or when you have your devotion. And I want to talk about that actually. But what I'm trying to say is that don't you think that God wants us to ever live in the presence, in his very presence? Because that's the place where he wants us to be. Because we have access 24/7. So all I'm trying to say is, let's not try to think of this as moments, but rather a continual 24/7 thing. And we're going to really ask God to help us, all right? Because I don't think many of us can say we can do that 24/7. That truth is not false. What I should say is, we're not conscious of it 24/7, right? We don't realize what we actually have. Now, I want to say one last thing here. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures from the book of Corinthians. Before I do, I'm going to read the scripture from Exodus. I think it's there. Even though it says 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 22 on the screen, it's actually Exodus, okay? Just a typo there. Exodus chapter 25, verse 22 in the King James Version. I want to read the King James Version. It says 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 22, King James Version. It's wrong reference, okay? But I just put that there. Okay, it's right here, so it's wrong on my one. Okay, because that one has the bilingual. Mine's just the English. Okay, so I need to convert. All right, Exodus chapter 25, verse 22. What does it say? And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat and from the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. And I want you to pick out the word commune with you. In the New King James, we have to speak, but here the word is, I want to commune with you. So think about it. He wants to commune with us. Now, we had Holy Communion this morning, didn't we? And what do we say in communion? We thank the bread, the cup, the broken body, and we thank the cup, the blood. In 1 Corinthians then, chapter 10, verse 14 to 17, let me read this. It says, "Therefore, my beloved, free from idolatry, I speak as wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless." What is that cup of blessing? The cup which we drink, right? "Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body. For we all partake of that one bread." So here we're talking about a place of communion. And that place of communion involves two things. What does it involve? What does it involve? The blood and the body. Is that right? So think about it now. I'm trying to use picture language here. Go back. Think of the Ark of the Covenant. Without blood, they had no entrance. But now, because of the blood of Jesus, we have entrance. The communion, as we call it, the Holy Communion, was a place of the blood and the broken body giving us, this is the communion that we have with God. So in the place where He wants us to meet Him, there is a place of communion because of His broken body and because of His blood. We have entrance. Praise be to God. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Spirit be with you all." Amen. I've made my case first. Let's talk about 3 points really briefly. So there's a place called there. Where is that place? Where is that place? It's beyond a natural place. It is a spiritual place. It's a place of constant communion in the Spirit with God. We can have unbroken relationship and fellowship with God. If you would have read your lessons in the live group in the first lesson, what does it say? The life that wins is to know the will of God and to have unbroken fellowship with God. So I think if we live from a place of communion, do you think we will have a life of that wins? I think so. And with faith and with everything else. Let me read then Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. And out of that, we're going to draw 3 points that we can do practically. And what does it look like? What do you mean meet God there? How? Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 to 2 is a prophet of God. It says this, "I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it." I want to pick out 3 words here. And the first, it's stand, set, and write. Okay? Say with me, there's a place called there. There, God wants to speak with me. There, God wants to meet me. There, God wants to give me. But here, I'm going to use this verse here. Now, in this particular verse, as we've just read it, what's Habakkuk doing? He's actually troubled. He's actually confused with what's happening around him. And he's telling God and questioning God and very not understanding what's going on. What does he do? He says, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to stand my watch." Now, what does a watchman do? Just a watchman. Forget about the verse. What a watchman? A watchman needs to go in his position. A watchman needs to keep his watch. He has to be on duty, right? He can't just go, "Let me grab a cup of coffee," and right? He's got to be on watch, right? Okay? Because it's in that moment that the enemy will infiltrate in. Now, here, he's talking about this kind of attitude. Now, in the Old Testament, people will often set themselves and also stand their watch in another way. And I'm going to try to use that picture here to show us something that we can do. So what does it mean? Number one, I'm going to talk about let us set ourselves. He set himself on the rampart. So what did he do? He set himself on a tower. He took his place. He stationed himself. Another word is he stationed himself. It's to place myself in a particular position. It's to take a stance. It's a posture of readiness. Set yourself. Why must he set himself? Why must the watchman, if he's watching, why must he be on a tower? He can't be partying with everybody. He can't be doing what everyone else is doing. He must be in the tower or on the tower to watch. He has to be away from the distractions of what everybody else is doing, be it good or evil. You got to separate yourselves. Set yourself in that place. So let me ask a question this morning. Is there a place in our lives? Now, this can involve the natural and both the spiritual here. But do we have a place? Do we set a place where we will go and meet God? In other words, is there a time we set aside, says, I'm going to seek the face of God? Is there a place where we say, I'm going to go and meet God and speak with Him and spend time with Him? Do we station ourselves? Do we position ourselves? Oftentimes, most of us wants to run. Now, if you've watched, I'm sure with the Olympics and everything, maybe some of you have been watching some of the sports that have taken place in recent times. But when the runner runs, what must he do? On your marks, get set, go. Most of us wants to go. But you gotta set yourself in a ready position. If you, like me, like sports, like tennis, played tennis for a great number of years. When you play, you know what tennis is? Do you all know what tennis is? Yeah? Okay, just making sure. Have you seen a tennis player? Have you seen how they position themselves before they return a serve? Now, have you seen the serves are really fast, 200 Ks plus an hour? Imagine that ball coming to you. You can't be standing like this unless you're Nick Kyrgios, but you can't just be like walking around like this and expect to return such a fast. But what must you do? You must lower yourself, right? You must watch the ball. You must be ready. You gotta position yourself. So what am I saying? Spiritually, do we position ourselves to receive from God, or we're just walking life casually? Is there a place? Is there a time? Some people have a closet. You can have a closet. You can have a room. Wherever that place is. But you know that when you go into that place, you're going to meet with God. Number two. Stand my watch. To stand our watch is a few words here I'm going to use. In different versions are translated. Guard post. To stand the charge. Or the word also can mean duty. Now, in the Bible, okay, we're kind of almost there. So this is the second most important aspect of what we're saying here. You got to set yourself. Find a place, find a time, find a moment where you have it. Number two, stand my watch. Stand. Everybody say stand. So you think, should I just stand before God? Maybe you can. You can do that. But many people in the Bible stood before God. Let's read a few scriptures that talks about standing before God. Exodus chapter 3, verse 5. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. So the place where you stand is holy ground. So why was the ground holy? Because of his presence, because God was there. Is that right? All right. Genesis chapter 18, verse 22. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before who? Before the Lord. So he stood before the Lord. So what do we mean by he's got to stand your watch? Stand before God. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. What did Elijah do? And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, and said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand. Who does he stand before? The God of Israel. There shall be no There be not dew nor rain these years except by my word. Now, everybody likes the story of Elijah, right? He goes and declares that there be no rain for 3.5 years. That's the like we part. Don't you want to go out like Elijah and be a prophet of God and do great and wondrous things? None of you. Oh, come on, man. I thought we were like those who know that God shall do great exploits. Well, come on, where are you? We've been singing, this is the day of your power. We shall be volunteers in the day of... come on. All right, I'm kidding. All right, but here. He stood before... And the thing is, before he went to do the great exploits, he stood before God. So before we run out and do great and wonderful things for God, do we stand before the Almighty God? Or are we running around? But we must remember, ready, set, go. Don't go first. What will happen if they went first? Elimination. All right, okay. I think you have one warning at least or something, right? Before you disqualify, or you disqualify straight away. Disqualify straight away. So let us not be disqualified, shall we? I hope it's speaking to someone at least. Deuteronomy, a couple more scripture verses here to bring this point across. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8, it says, at that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi. And the tribe of Levi, by the way, were the ones who were appointed in the tabernacle and temple to offer the services in the tabernacle, as we looked at earlier. They were the priests. They were set apart. So the tribe of Levi were to bear... Oh, I say Levi well when I read the Bible. When I call Amy's son, I always say Levi. What's wrong with me? All right. At the time that the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord to do what? To minister to Him and to bless in His name to this day. So what were they doing as they stood before the presence of God? They were ministering. 1 Chronicles chapter 23, verse 27 to 32. Let me read that one as well. It says, for by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above. To the Levites. Because their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord in the courts and in the chambers and in the purifying of all things and the work of the service of the house of God, both for the showbread, for the fine flour and for meat offering and for the unleavened cakes and for that which is baked in the pan and for that which is fried, for all manner of measure and size. Okay, just forget about the details there, but they were to serve in the temple. Verse 30, to do what? To stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord and likewise at even or at evening. Verse 31, and to offer all burnt sacrifices unto the Lord in the Sabbaths, in the new moon and on the set feast by number according to the order commanded unto them. How often? Continually before the Lord. And that they should keep the charge. Everybody say charge. So they were to stand every morning and they were to keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation and the charge of the holy place and the charge of the sons of Aaron, their brethren, in the what? The whole idea of the charge is what? It's to do with the service of the house of the Lord. So keep the charge. Everybody say, keep the charge. Now, they stood before the Lord. Is that right? They kept the charge of God. Is that right? Are you following with me? So as we go back to Habakkuk, I will stand my watch. I will stand my charge. I will stand for my duty. Because I'm here as a watchman to hear and see what God will say. I will stand my watch. I will stand my charge. Is that making sense? So what am I saying here? What are we saying? It was a place where they stood before the presence and ministered to God. Ministered to God in the services of God. That's our devotion. Is that right, church? That's our devotion to God. Singing thanks and praise unto the Lord. The meditation of the Word of God, the reading of the Word, the prayer, the fellowship, the union. Come and meet me in that place. Stand before my presence. Can you say amen? Why can we stand before His presence? His blood. Now, He wants to meet. Do we want to meet Him? Three. Watch what God will say to me. Habakkuk says he will watch what God said to him. Now, when we go in the place, when we go into that place we're talking about this morning, do we expect God to speak to us? Do we expect to hear from God? If the most holy place, remember the other name is called the oracle, where he speaks. But do we have faith that when we go in that place, whether it's in that room, whether it's that morning hour, whether it's that place of communion that you have, wherever it is physically, it doesn't really matter. But do we have that place? Do we expect God to speak every single day? Is there an expectation? Because I think we should at least have an expectation. Do you think so? There I will meet with you. There I will speak with you. There I will give unto you. Do we believe that we can even come in his presence? And the last thing, and this leads us to the last point here. What did Habakkuk say about the vision? Or what did God say, what did he say to him? He says, write down the vision. Write down, hear what God will say and see the vision. When you receive that vision, write it down. If we are serious enough with what God says to us, do you think we would write? I think we would really write it, right? I was talking to the children yesterday. Was it yesterday? The day before yesterday? I lose track of time so easily now. But a couple of days ago, I was talking to them, and we were talking about if God spoke to you and me, if let's put it this way, to make it, I got to make a point across here. If you and I heard the audible voice of God right now, what would you do with what God said? I know we'll be spiritual. We will obey. We will do all the things that you say to us. We will do. Okay, maybe that's what we'll say. By the way, that's what the children of Israel said to God when he met them on the mountain. But it says, speak to Moses. We'll do everything you say we do. And I don't think they quite obeyed that. So let's not be that. But if God literally spoke to us in an audible voice, how would we treat that? Would you go the next day and say, oh, I forgot what God said to me? Right? But if I say, if we talk to one another, say, what has the Lord been saying to you this whole week? Oh, I don't know. I was having morning, I read this, but I forgot. I don't know if you might identify with what I'm talking about. Maybe yourself, or maybe you heard someone else, right? If what God is saying to us, we really believe he's speaking to us, and we really believe it's becoming from God, and we really have expectation that he does commune with us, then why is it that we can say we forgot what he said to us? So if it's really God speaking, we would treasure it. We would write it down because these words are important. They are so important that God himself wrote down his word. Let me quickly end with a story here in the Bible, in the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, there's a prophet. He's a prophet, okay? And he goes to send word to a particular king. I won't bore you with the details. And this particular king, he's actually giving a word of God to warn him of the coming captivity. And so they take in the word of God that was written down by Jeremiah's scribe. And what did the king do? He went through it, and as he heard, he wasn't happy about it. He took a penknife, cut it off, and threw it bit by bit into the fire until the whole thing was burnt. And the Bible tells us that all those who were with him didn't even budge or didn't move, didn't even affect them, didn't say anything, which means great approval of what the king did. That was the word that came, that this is the word of the Lord through Jeremiah, and the king just burnt it off. But what did God do? Did he say, oh, he, too bad, got burnt. Never mind, forget it. No, it was important to God that God went back to Jeremiah and said to Jeremiah, the things that you have written formerly that was burned, go back and have it written exactly as I gave you the first time. What am I saying to you from this story is that if it's important to God to write it down, is it not important for us to write down the words that he speaks to us? Can you understand? Can you see what I'm trying to say here this morning? All right, to write it down because We are forgetful people. We forget very easily. So easily we forget that God has to say, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. It's as if we might forget. This do as often as you drink this in remembrance of me. He gave us something. We've got to remember what I did for you. Remember. Let me pull a joke here really quickly. But I guess it says here in verse 2, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, right? What does it say? You can put it up really quickly. It says, then the Lord answered and said to me, write the vision and make it plain on tablets. Do you have tablets? Okay. So whether you want to use your phone, your tablet, I mean, if you can write, you write it, okay? But use what you have. Write it down, okay? Write it down. I really would encourage you to do that. Remember, why are we sharing this? These are not things that are completely foreign to you. But I pray that what we are hearing this morning is what the Spirit is calling us. He says, seek my face. It's not that you don't know you should read your Bible. It's not that you don't know we should praise. It's not like we don't know we ought to have fellowship and communion with God. We all know that. But can we take heed to the preciousness of how far, first and foremost, our Lord Jesus Christ made it possible so we could come in? And if he paid such a price for us to come in, why is it that we don't meet him there? Why are we busy living our lives and doing our own things? He says, come and meet me there. In fact, don't just meet me there in the morning or in the evening or in that portion of time where you're going to set aside. You have access in that place 24/7. So I want to pray this morning that for all of us here, that this would be our cry, that we do live from the place of his presence. Like Elijah, we can say, as the Lord God lives before whom I stand. I want to stand and live from a position of standing before the Lord continually. So I pray that this at least stirs us. Find that place. It is a place called there. Will we meet him there? Are we too busy to set aside some time? Or perhaps can we ask God to help us? Let me be conscious of the access that I have in heaven, even as I'm shopping, even as I'm going about doing things, I'm washing the dishes, I'm driving. Can I be conscious that you are here? There's a place I can meet you. Yes, I can't just sit in my closet for 5 hours and pray all the time. But yes, okay. But can I be conscious of the access that I have because of the blood? It's not just a section of the time, though I strongly believe you should. If you don't, set aside some time. Spend some time away from distraction. Set yourself. Stand your watch and listen to what he will say unto us. And pray. But I also want to pray that God will give us the grace to help us. We really need this in these last days. As we all know, everything is just going haywire. What do we do? Do we get pushed around by the same? All right? But Elijah, even standing in the midst of the prophets of Baal and Jezebel and Ahab, he stood before the Lord and was able to minister. So final words, don't go without, on your marks, get set, then go. Just because we're on the go, we shouldn't equate that as being spiritual. Being spiritual is the one who is connected constantly to the Lord. Amen? Lord, we pray this morning that you would help us first and foremost, to see how precious the blood, precious the price that was paid, that we would have communion with you. And that communion, praise and worship and fellowship would be offered before you continually, continually in the temple, in this temple that you have purchased with the price of your blood. God, I pray, stir us to meet you in that place daily. To position ourselves, to stand our watch, to minister unto you, God, because we know that this is the place you want to speak to us. Help us to write it down so we could go back and read and meditate the things that you're speaking to us. So many times we're saying we want to hear a word from God. We want to hear someone. I want to hear prophetic. The words that our God is speaking to us every day, are we hearing? Lord, I pray, have mercy upon us that you would give us ears to hear. And this morning, help us to just understand the simplicity of this message. Just seek my face. Many some of us here this morning might need to give up certain things that are in the way for me to meet God in that place. Now, some of you might think, oh, I'm already having devotion. No, I'm not just talking about morning devotion or evening devotion. We are talking about communion. All right? I want to take us to a place this morning, not just to say, well, I read my Bible today. No. Did you hear what God is saying to you and me? Did I get something from Him? Did He minister to me? Is there something He wants me to do? We're talking about this communion. Lord, help us to find that place, unbroken fellowship, Lord. We are so far away from there, Lord. But we thank you that because of your great mercies, you do help us. You do lead us. We don't trust in our own abilities. We don't trust, as we have heard from Brother Dino this morning, we're not going to trust in our self-effort and strive in the flesh, but it is the communion of the Holy Spirit. We trust in you this morning that, Holy Spirit, you're working in our hearts, and that by the Spirit, something is going to take place today. Something is going to shift in my life. Something is going to shift in my walk with you. Take me to the next level. Take me deeper, deeper than I've ever been before, in the name of Jesus. You know, I felt like I just needed to say one last thing before we send you off, everybody goes off. Let me add one last point, and I think this is very important. And catch this, okay? We talked this morning about setting ourselves, standing our watch, see what God will speak, and write. Is that right? That's the summary of what we talked about today. And we talked about setting ourselves. Setting ourselves is a place of readiness, right? But in the natural ways, in the natural things that we do, do we know that there are certain things we can do that is the opposite of setting ourselves? So by setting ourselves, if I just set myself in front of a TV and just watching hours of TV, is that setting myself to seek the face of God? No, because that thing is going to prevent me, is going to take me away, is going to take my time away, is going to take my mind away. Right? So I'm just saying, you need to know, whether it's TV or whether it's social media or wherever there are things that we are overspending our time in. And if we're going to talk about setting myself to seek the face of God, then we have to take away those distractions. You have to, maybe there are certain things that some of us might have to cut off. All right? Maybe something has taken us into a place of, I don't know, I don't want to, I mean, you can call it, addiction sounds a little bit hard, but something that we can't do without it, and we have to do it daily, and we have to do it long hours. I'm saying this morning, maybe ask the Lord if there are certain things that is taking our time away, that is breaking that fellowship and that time with the Lord, then we have to ask the Lord, do I need to spend less time doing this? Or do I need to cut it off altogether? Ask the Lord this morning. But I want to leave on a good note, and I want to say, do you and I have faith that God wants to meet us? Do you have faith that God wants to speak and commune with us? And do you have and I have faith that God wants to give unto us and lavish unto us the things that He has prepared for all those who love Him? Can you say amen? Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you, God. Move in our hearts. Encourage us to know that there is a place we can meet you all the time, continually, to worship you, to be in a place of communion. And today we know, if there are those who are saying, but I don't know how to hear Him, I don't know how to tell, I don't know how to spend time with Him, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, would you bring that comfort, bring that rest, bring divine wisdom and faith rise in our hearts. And that we're just going to keep it simple. Just keep it simple. And just knowing that you do speak to us. We give your glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you. Greet one another. Bless one another. Fellowship with one another. Amen.